All right, would you please open your Bibles? We'll go over to Philippians. I had more to say, but as we were worshiping, the Lord was saying, all right, I want you to shorten it up a bit. We're about to hear from Brother Richard, and I'm looking forward to that, so I don't want to take too much time. So Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and we'll go over to the fourth chapter. Thank you, Jesus. If I can find Philippians, we'll get started. All right. So Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And, you know, these are things that we have probably heard many, many times. I remember as a young man having discovered this scripture and making it a part of, you know, my life kind of thing. You know, I'm going to assimilate this for myself. This was before learning about assimilating and meditation, but still I wanted this to be a part of my life. But not really fully understanding what that means. Our pastor, Pastor Jim, has been, in the recent past, has taught us about confession of the word. And again, this is not something new, but you know what's interesting is when God brings about something that we've already heard 1,000 times, maybe that's a clue that we haven't been paying attention and doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I don't resent it. I say, okay, Lord, thank you. I'll take this correction. And so he was bringing about teachings on confession, and of course, in true Pastor Jim fashion, it's line upon line, you know, precept upon precept for sermon after sermon after sermon. But one of the things that he shared at one point in one of those sermons, and maybe he doesn't remember, but in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says that God keeps in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Amen. Now, that's one of the scriptures that I actually confess on a regular basis over my life. But what was kind of funny for me was that Pastor Jim then said, this is how I do this. What I do, and I'm Pastor Jim for a moment, what I do is he said that he allows his mind to just focus in on Jesus, and without necessarily having his lips moving and speaking words, he has his mind stayed on God. That seems really simple, right? And in his mind, he's worshiping God. Lord, I believe you, I trust you, I worship you, and so forth. And just in his mind. And he's keeping his mind stayed on God, and peace would flow in his being. I would just quote the scripture. It never occurred to me, and I'm embarrassed to say, it never occurred to me that there was something for me to do. Oh, Lord. You've been in the ministry how long, Mr. Legault? I'm saying this, and right now Pastor Jim's thinking I'm going to revoke his ordination papers. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, there is something to be done, isn't there? There's more than just quoting scriptures. And so, sure enough, I've now begun to put that into practice. I quote the scripture, but I also put it in practice. I keep my mind stayed on him. Hallelujah. So here we see rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's more than just a scripture. We say it is something that we should be doing. And in fact, in the original language, the image or the picture that is being conveyed is that it is a state of being, a state of rejoicing, a state of I'm in joy. And it's not a state of joy because something good has happened. A baby girl has just been born, and hallelujah, my little Michaela, and the joy that we felt when she came into the world, and so forth. No, it's a state of joy in terms of my constant communion with him, and in terms of me purposing to stay in that state of joy. I'm going to continue to rejoice in him and who he is to me, and who he has made me to be in his kingdom, and who he declares me to be to him. You know, that's something significant that the Lord would say, you are of such tremendous value to me. You know, sometimes we lose sight of that. So hallelujah, we rejoice in those things. It's something that we actually do. And part of how we can actually do it, of course, is through worship. You know, just as we could be keeping our mind stayed on Him and just meditating on Him and meditating on His goodness and so forth and allowing that to produce peace in us, there's also a measure by which we can be in constant, intentional, purposeful worship. You know, we can be by ourselves in the car driving along and just, oh Lord, I'm thinking of you right now. Boy, I love you. You're so amazing and you're so great to me. And the what it would produce in us is joy. Hallelujah. Be careful when you make that a lifestyle, it becomes an automatic pattern. It just starts slipping out wherever you go. And then you'll be in the grocery store just worshiping and people will be looking at you funny. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'll be speaking to the Lord and realize that I'm doing it out loud. And my fallback has been, oh, I'll just pray in tongues. Wait, that's even more weird. Hallelujah. But he continues here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and that is a state of being. And then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And I would think before that moderation was talking about, you know, do all things in moderation. And so I would feel very poorly about myself because when I'm at the Golden Corral or any other all-you-can-eat place, my moderation was not known by all men. In fact, quite the opposite. Look elsewhere, you will not see moderation here. But that's not what God is talking about here through the Apostle Paul. What he's talking about is that word moderation is talking about clemency or making things right. So think about it, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, rejoice, and think about those people who rub you the wrong way and take you out of your joy. That's not the way it's supposed to be. In fact, what he's saying is let your moderation be known unto all in that joy that you're in a state of being, you're going to express this clemency or you're going to express this this state of making things right with people on a regular basis. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of chasing them down with your arm out the window holding a knife for some reason. And some of you laugh, you may not know what that's about. The person responsible for that may share that with you. I don't know. I've done bizarre things behind the wheel myself, but we won't share that tonight. But the point being that, let's say somebody cuts you off, hey, bless you, just let them go their way. Instead of, you know, getting angry with them, and maybe, you know, they're road ragers, don't put fuel on that fire, right? Amen? But Paul continues, he says, the Lord is at hand, and this one is a very powerful part of that verse for me, and that is talking about God being so very near to us that he's within reach for us to lay hold of him. We're never alone. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter what we're experiencing. We can lay hold of him. And I don't know what people in the world do. There have been circumstances where I have been physically alone. Jamie wasn't with me. My family, they weren't with me. Or people that I love weren't with me. I was physically alone. And maybe in a bit of emotional distress. But I was never alone. And in the midst of that distress, I just, whoa, Jesus, I need you. And I know that in that moment, I may not be able to physically lay hold of him, but he is more there than he can be physically, if that can make sense to you. Where there's a part of me that is literally laying hold of him, because that is how near he is. But just getting to the crux for what we want to look at tonight, he continues in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Now, Rick Renner says that passage, be careful for nothing, is really talking about, and really because of the way this word in the Greek, merimeo, was used in that context, that era, that time, the people reading this, the Philippians, would understand that he was talking about, don't be concerned about your natural needs. That this is what this is talking about. Be careful for nothing, meaning don't worry about how you're going to pay your bills. Don't worry about where you're going to get food to feed your children. Don't be careful for those things. And we understand that being careful means that we take care. We take on the caring of it. We take on the stress or the fear or the anxiety of it. And that's really what it's talking about. Other translations say, be anxious for nothing, and that would be a good way of translating it as well in terms of don't fret, don't be anxious, don't be careful. And really, it's talking about how am I going to figure out the answer? How am I going to resolve this? There are some times when okay, it's on us to do something to change a situation. But even in that, it should be directed by his information, like him giving us the wisdom to contend with the situation, not just our own reasonings and I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. At one point, when Jamie and I were ministering up in Canada, and money was staying away from us in great abundance, as Gary would say, I was careful for many things, and one of them was I was concerned that I would take care of Jamie and the girls. You know, and I think as a father, as a man of God, you know, that's an important thing that we would not neglect our wife. I was going to say our wives. Hopefully we only have one. Maybe I should just go sit down now. Hallelujah. We should be concerned to take care of our wife and our children. But not careful like what it says here, where we take on the burden of it apart from God. And so in my anxiety and in my fear, what I would do is I'd disobey God and go get a job in the natural, in the secular, even though he told me not to, even though he had told me, Alain, keep your hand on the plow and keep doing what I've told you to do in the ministry, I would go work. And I would try to find an answer. This merimeo is the same word that Jesus used when he was preaching on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, when he said, actually, let's just turn over there very briefly, because then after that, I want to go to Matthew 13. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's merimeo. And again, in the context of when this is spoken, when this is written, that word merimeo is talking about take no thought of the natural things that you have need of in this life, whether it be money to buy food or clothing or, you know, putting a roof over your head. Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? And on he goes. And we see that he says, you know, of course, in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we turn over to Matthew 13, and in this passage, of course, we're seeing the parable of the sower. And in 13:22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This care of this world is also that word merimeo. It's where the weight and the stress and the anxiety and the taking on of that weight chokes that which God wants to do in your life. It brings it to naught. And of course, the deceitfulness of riches is that if only I could lay hold of money, everything is going to be okay in my life. It's a deception. Money can't deliver us from anything. It's kind of like, you know, people say, well, you know, I need the doctor to do this or that or the other thing. Doctors don't heal people. Jesus heals people. Amen? So we don't want to rely on the riches to deliver us. Hallelujah. Flip back over to Philippians. I should have kept my marker there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's a state of being that we actively engage in, that we create for ourselves by pressing into him. It's not something that just happens. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Again, in the original, the picture is a person who would boldly come before God, presenting the need, knowing it's going to be met. It's not someone who goes before God, hoping maybe he'll, you know, consent to taking care of me. This is one who boldly goes before him, knowing that it's going to be done. And that's why there's thanksgiving with it, because it's coming due. And the outcome, of course, is verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It passes all natural understanding. There's no reasoning to it. When finally I came to the place of being at the end of myself, I'll stop trying to resolve our financial situation and stop trying to find a way to do it on my own. I'm finally just going to be obedient to you, Lord. and we just began to just trust him, it's not like overnight our financial situation changed. In fact, I quit my job, so it got worse immediately. And yet, as the fear began to recede and the anxiety and the weight of me trying to find how I'm going to fix it, as I continued to just worship him and press into him and trust in him, abide in him, and allow his life to just come into me and flow into this situation, my perspective changed. All of a sudden, I experienced peace. It was a peace that surpassed understanding because the circumstances hadn't changed. Mortgage is still due tomorrow, and the money isn't there, yet we have peace. One of the things that happens as you continue to do that is it changes the way you react to things. I don't know who said it in the last couple services that, you know, it must have been Brother Gary this morning, you know, abiding so much in him that the first response to whatever is out there is him. It's his word, and it's the way he would do it. So, you know, we've had recent experience. You know, many of you know, and some of you may not know, that Jamie and I and the girls were Canadians. And we're still kind of new to the U.S. thing, even though it's almost been 3 years. And, you know, for the first couple years, we had health insurance with one particular company. But this year it changed. And it's still all a mystery to us. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why we're doing what we're doing. We're just, you know, doing what we think we're supposed to be doing. And at one point, we had all these appointments, wellness appointments. We didn't even know that there was a difference between wellness and whatever the other one is called, like sickness appointments. What are they called? Anyways, it's like a game you have to play. Confusion. So we thought it was just getting a checkup. Jamie and the girls went and got checkups. They were wellness appointments. And then we got these things in the mail, and we thought, what is going on? They are called EOBs, Explanation of Benefits. And we're looking at this thing and, oh, wow, we owe tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know what's going on. You went to see the doctor, now we owe $1,000 for you and $1,000 for her and what's going on? We really had we didn't know what to make of it. It was really just confusion. But can I tell you, no fear rose up in us. We weren't panicking. How are we going to pay these bills? It was just kind of like, haha, oh, well, I guess God's going to pay the bills. Now, thankfully, and I still don't really understand it, but I'll tell you that the EOB is one thing and the bill is a whole other thing. And so the bills were significantly less than the EOBs. And all right, praise the Lord. And even with that, God is going to take care of it. The point being, no Mary Mayo. No thought about how we're going to pay it. No worry, no concern, no anxiety. It doesn't keep me up at night. I can tell you, 5-6 years ago, I probably would have been a little bit stressed out about it. Probably wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with my heart pounding in my chest. Oh my goodness, how am I going to pay this? None of that anymore. Hallelujah. But we have to do what the Word tells us to do. Not just read the Scriptures and quote them. We actually have to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to get into a lifestyle and a pattern of just continuously being in a state of being, of rejoicing in Him, rejoicing in Him, rejoicing in Him. And when the things come up, and they will, and they do, and we know, right? If you've been alive for any length of time, you know stuff comes up sometimes on a daily basis and sometimes more than once in a day. But if what's in abundance in us is Him and His Word and what He has said about Himself, it doesn't matter what we encounter, what's going to come out is joy. Hallelujah. And that's part of the moderation. It doesn't matter how much Richard might annoy me. I'm picking on Richard because he's next. What's going to come up is joy. Hallelujah. Ushers, will you please come forward?